I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time to tee off with Dirt and Sprague.
If you're the Mexican Mac O'Grady, you got to figure out why I'm still shaking the ball.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Your brain was getting in the way.
The Fans U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
He went full Happy Gilmore.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say late October as well. We'll get shocked. The Big Ten will announce tonight, and then we'll get good news. I'm probably an idiot for that. But
stay optimistic, man. What the hell?
Never know. Well, we have a Game 7 in the NBA tonight. I don't think anybody saw this one coming when the Clippers went up 3-1, but the Denver Nuggets had back-to-back comebacks down 16 points against a veteran Clipper team that many thought, or still think, can win the championship. So Andrew Greif, formerly, of course, the Oregonian up here, he is down there covering the Clippers for the LA Times on Twitter, at Andrew Greif. Give him a follow. Greif, it's good to have you back on with us here in Portland, man. I hope you guys are doing okay down in LA. Big Game 7 tonight, and the question I think I'm most curious about, Paul George and Kawhi are essentially on two-year deals. How much of the future kind of weighs on what happens tonight to you?
Yeah, I mean, this is the midway point of their deals, essentially. I mean, they have a way they can opt in for the third year, but essentially it's a two-year thing. And, you know, I think that as a franchise, you want to show them that you are willing, that you are able to win championships. I mean, that was what was said during their introductory press conference. It was a huge setting. There was like a school gym and in South LA. And, you know, the team president said they expect to win championships, and we do too. I mean, it's been out there for forever that this is what they were brought here to accomplish. So to go out in the second round would be an enormous blow to that. Now, I do think that the last 14 months has been really positive in terms of their experience with the Clippers. You know, they by easily know by now that the team will pretty much do anything to make sure they feel comfortable, but you still need to win. And right now the Clippers are on, you know, the verge of potentially going out. I do personally like their chances. I think that urgency has been a huge problem all year. And you would expect them, at least I do, to understand that tonight is the final chance potentially. So I don't think focus will be a problem, but execution, I guess, is another thing.
Yeah. What has gone wrong in Game 5 and Game 6? I will admit that in Game 6, that was an NFL Sunday, and I was a little preoccupied with other things going on. So I didn't see a ton of the game, but I'm like following along. They're up big. I'm thinking, all right, here come the Clippers. They're going to run away with this. What has gone wrong, and why have they not been able to put Denver or eliminate Denver to this point?
You know, in the second halves, they've shot between 28 and 34%, while Denver has shot 61% each game. So it really, I mean, obviously defense and offense kind of blend into one another. One affects the other, but the Clippers just can't score after halftime. And when they aren't able to score, that lets, you know, Denver get their defense rebounds and run down the court. And Nikola Jokic has been a monster. For as deep as the Clippers roster is, they don't have anyone, just like I'm pretty sure there aren't many guys at all in the NBA who can really match up to Jokic. He's just, you know, he hit a running three-pointer from like 27 feet off the wrong foot. And it was like a horse, the type of shot you make if you want to win a horse game. You're like, this is E. You know, it's like it was just one of those ridiculous shots that even the Clippers, even Kawhi Leonard probably wouldn't have expected him to take. So it's he's been a monster. The Clippers have been their own worst enemy, though. You know, it's like they aren't being very aggressive. Doc Rivers, he kind of looks at pace and tempo as like a almost like a canary in a coal mine of how your team is doing. And once he saw them slowing things down, once Denver was making shots, forcing them to take the ball out of bounds, they couldn't run anymore. He was getting concerned, and You just see a team that in Denver that has total confidence. They've won five straight elimination games. They know what it's like to play a game seven, so they're not scared.
Andrew Greif is our guest here. LA Times does a great job covering the LA Clippers. They're stuck in a game seven against the Nuggets, who have roared back in this series. They're down 3-1. Game seven is tonight. Who is the guy in the locker room? I feel like it's maybe Patrick Beverley because he's so vocal, but you know, how vocal or in the leadership department is Kawhi, is a guy like Paul George? Because I think most people look at that roster and say, oh, it's Pat Bev that talks. How instrumental is Kawhi going to be in the locker room or on the court? I know he's kind of a quiet leader, but this is one of those moments, Andrew, that it just kind of feels like you need that superstar number one guy to maybe step up and kind of get out of his comfort level a little bit.
Yeah, I asked Doc kind of yesterday a version of that, and he kind of cut me off before I got to ask the full question about is he talking to guys about his Game 7 experience? You know, everyone remembers the four bounces his shot took to beat Philly last year. So is he talking about that? He didn't really hear that part of the question, but what he said was like he knows that the thing that is comforting as a coach is that, you know, there are a lot of guys who've never really been in the Game 7, certainly with these kind of stakes built up around this season. But he said he knows Kawhi, the moment won't be too big for him, that he'll be, you know, calm. Now, is he going to perform, you know, like he has in clutch situations before? Who knows? But he knows that, like, he won't feel timid or you know, too much pressure from the moment. So I would think that guys would look to Kawhi. You know, Paul George has Game 7 experience too, but mostly it was like 7 years ago with the Pacers. So I really think that, you know, all eyes are on Kawhi even more than usual.
But what have you made of Paul George's journey so far in the bubble? These athletes sometimes can be punching bags, especially Paul George, for the way he was eliminated last year and the comments he made after Dame's shot. He's not necessarily a fan favorite in Portland. But the way he struggled, the way he opened up about what he was dealing with and reading the stuff on social media, the mental health, what have you made of his journey and the way that he's played in the bubble?
It's been quite a journey because he came in July and was telling us that his shoulders, which of course were a problem that he had surgery on immediately after the end of last season, surgery on both shoulders, that those were fixed and that during the regular season, he had no more doubts about kind of the state of his shoulders. He felt like his health was finally at a point where he kind of could just play free. And you really saw that like the first 2 or 3 weeks where he was just lights out from three. There's a game against New Orleans where he hit like 8 threes in the bubble in the seeding round. And it was like, okay, this is the Paul George, that smooth score that everyone knows. But then, obviously, he bottomed out in that first round for a couple games, and he said he just felt detached. What's kind of remarkable is that, as we've seen from Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan, there's a lot more willingness to be vulnerable from players about talking about where they are mentally and their anxiety levels and depression. And that's something that Paul George brought up. Doc Rivers has said time and again that he feels like mental health is basically the same as a sprained ankle. You know, it's hurting guys. It's something that hurts people, that brings down, that drags down their performance. Does not let them perform up to the level that they should be able to. And he said that why do we talk about this like it's some kind of dark secret? Let's get this out in the open. So I think Paul has been commended quite a bit for doing that in the middle of round one, and he's played pretty well since. I think he's been a really, really steady player all this round.
Do you think they blow the roster up sans Kawhi and Paul George, kind of keep those guys together, maybe keep a guy like Zubats just because he's young, but do you think that they're going to blow this roster up if they don't win tonight?
I don't really think so because, Montrezl Harrell is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. Whether they keep him or not, I think that's open to debate. You know, he's shown himself to be an extremely valuable regular season player. In the postseason, he's had a lot of trouble, and some of that is him leaving for a month while mourning the death of his grandmother, so that's a little unusual. He's a candidate to leave, obviously. Jermichael Green has an option for this summer. He's been fantastic, and I really think that he would be a valuable guy to him to bring back. They're young players, you know, Landry Shamet and Zubats, I think, have value. Zubats certainly. So I don't know if you'd see kind of a whole brand new cast of characters around the two main stars next year, but if they fall short, obviously they have to find certain, you know, fixes. You know, I think that for as talented and as deep as this roster is, and a lot of people have told me, oh, it's clearly the deepest roster in the league. Well, now you're seeing that, you know, when guys aren't making shots and your, you know, third point guard off the bench isn't making the shots he was in March, it can get that rotation gets really short really quickly. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing they would have a lot of reason to go out and shore up this rotation.
I feel like I know the answer to this, but I want to ask it anyways. How do Clipper fans react if they are to lose tonight and the Lakers go on to win an NBA championship?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it would be devastating because, you know, obviously I'm a transplant. I'm not from here, but I feel like I have a small window into kind of the psyche of Clippers fans. And, you know, this is not cliche. Like, it's the real deal. This is a Lakers town. It's striking how large the share of the population is that is just diehard Lakers fans. So this was one of the few times where going into the season that Doc Rivers said he felt like Clippers fans were really coming up to him, like on the street, being like, "Hey, I'm a Clippers fan," and being like loud and proud about it, and being like, you know, there's no more stigma they felt like associated with it. But if that situation were to unfold, like you said, and the Clippers lose and the Lakers win, it's just going to be deafening in terms of, you know, little brother or those types of comments that I'm sure Clippers fans have had to live with for years down here.
Yeah, I've always wondered, too, in a situation like that, Greif, how many fans are actually just going to say hi to Doc so they lie and they say they're a Clipper fan because they're in L.A., but I guess you never know. We'll get you out here on this one, man. What is your prediction? It's hard not to see the Clippers winning tonight. Just it's Kawhi, it's Paul George, it's veteran, it's Doc, but they've blown two 16-point leads back-to-back. It feels like it'd be a bit dangerous for the Denver Nuggets to do that tonight, but what's your prediction for what's going to happen in Game 7?
Yeah, it hasn't been all blown leads this series. I think about in Game 3, they really stole a game that Denver should have won. Game 4, Denver made a ton of runs, and the Clippers pretty easily pushed back every time. That's why these last two games have been all the more stunning, honestly. But I think what you've seen is that the Clippers have advantage sometimes. They can just really swarm teams, even a team as really good as the Denver Nuggets. So I think that I would still pick the Clippers to win. Again, so much of this seems to be like the Clippers play like they're a team that has endless amount of time together. Maybe if they're faced with the real scenario that they do not have endless time, this could be the last 48 minutes of the year. I would expect them to play with that kind of swarming kind of style defensively and overwhelming talent offensively that they've shown at times.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Andrew Greif. LA Times covers the Clippers, obviously formerly of the Oregonian, now down there in LA, seeing if the Clippers can try to get their first championship. You can find him on Twitter at Andrew Greif. Greif, we appreciate the time up here, my man. Stay well and enjoy Game 7 tonight.
Stay safe up there, too. Miss you guys. Miss Portland. And I'm hoping everyone's safe.
Absolutely. There we go. Good stuff from Andrew Greif of the LA Times. He's picking the Clippers. I think a lot of people are picking them to win.
They're favored by a touchdown.
That seems a bit high.
I would love if they lost tonight. The sports fan in me would be bummed because I do think the Clippers
and Lakers.
I think the
Lakers would win in five, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think Clippers and Lakers would be a phenomenal series to watch.
Yes,
and watch those teams go at it and the juggernauts. But just to watch the misery after all the crap the Clipper fan has talked this year, acting like they have arrived before accomplishing anything,
oh, yeah.
It would be hilarious to see them not even get to the conference finals. They've been in this moment. I think to get into the conference finals, those games are like 0-7 in franchise history.
Remember the Houston one a few years
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm. It was game six. They're up by 30 points. They blew it.
No, it was... Wasn't that game
I think
five?
It might have been game five.
3-1.
Yeah,
and that
was
the Harden went to
game.
The bench.
Yeah.
They were down like 28, or they were up 28. The Clippers were, and they somehow lost that game because Josh Smith and Corey Brewer.
Yep, the random Houston Rockets.
All right, we're a little over the clock. We're back with more Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we got NFL True or False coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Wild Card Division and League Championship and World Series schedule for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, some baseball stuff in the news today.
Some baseball stuff. There's only 14 games left for my Bravos.
Isn't that crazy? This is it. And there's a lot of controversy about playing in Seattle right now. Like, my Giants are playing in Seattle tonight.
How about the Kyle Lewis catch?
The Kyle Lewis catch was great, but the A's were pissed.
Oh, because the
air
quality
is awful. I mean, the guys were, there was a center fielder, his name escapes me, for the A's, and he Laureano, I believe, and he made a catch, and he's like wearing an M95 mask. It's like, I get that we're kind of sprinting to the end of the regular season here, but should we be making them play in this?
Yeah, but I guess to that I'd say you're letting all these other teams who get COVID not play like 12 games. You can't just not play that one game.
Yeah, or find a way. Like, I'm sure the Mariners and A's play again. I'm assuming maybe you can schedule a doubleheader. Mm. I don't know.
Little NFL note here. I got some NFL leftover stuff I want to get to. I'll start with the one that's in the news right now. The new thing nowadays, if you're wondering how disgruntled a pro athlete is, it's the removal of a team mention on social media accounts.
Did you see who did that for the Bucks?
He did a mass unfollowing.
Because he's coming to Portland.
No. Like, he did a mass unfollowing.
All the Bucks. I'm sure he followed Dame, though. Did he follow CJ?
No, he doesn't follow
CJ's
anybody.
CJ's winery. Terry Stotts.
Allen Robinson, wide receiver of the Bears, pretty good. He has removed all things Bears. He could not get to a contract negotiation.
Oh, that's a little awkward.
With the Bears. So he has removed them. Many people speculating, hey, man, I wonder if he's going to be on the old trade machine
on
for
the
some NFL
block.
Teams.
Yeah. He had maybe the catch of the week in week one against Detroit.
Yes,
he had one that was pretty remarkable. Terrific player. That would be a blow to Chicago's offense. They already are limited in their passing game because of who their quarterback is. You don't want to lose your best wide receiver in the process.
I saw a question last night, and admittedly, I put this on our Twitter account. Russell Wilson is already a Hall of Famer. True or false?
Like, if he were to retire today.
If Russell Wilson never plays another snap, Russell Wilson is an NFL Hall of Fame player.
I would vote yes.
Okay. You seemed a little hesitant on that.
I mean, you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, 9 years, somewhere in that range. 231 career touchdown passes, 68 interceptions, adding in over 4,000 career rushing yards and 19 rushing touchdowns.
He is one of two NFL players all time with 30,000 passing yards and 4,000 rushing yards. You know who the other one is?
Steve Young. Where is he at?
Canton.
How many Super Bowls does Steve Young win?
Well, he got a couple.
Yeah, true. He might have had more. As a starting quarterback, yeah.
One.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, easy buddy. How many did you win, okay? How many do you deserve? I would vote yes. Sometimes I don't like small sample sizes. I think the only thing that would hold him...
Is it a small sample size at this point?
I mean,
he's played,
I think,
for a decade.
Not quite, but almost. I think less than a decade you would consider, because you have so many quarterbacks now that play for such a long time. The only thing I think that would hold him back now would be, one, not having a decade, and then two, not having an MVP. A lot of quarterbacks that go in that you look at as Hall of Famers have an MVP. I would argue he's probably deserved one based on the numbers he's put up over the last handful of years. And maybe if we fast forward to the end of the season, he'll be holding that, and that's a moot point.
You know, I got to tell you, I saw that last night, and I did like a double take, like, what? And then I went, that's an easy yes. He's probably not first ballot today. But he would be in.
He's got a ring. He's been to two.
Yeah.
They're in the playoffs every year.
He's consistent. He's got, I think, the most wins since he was drafted. Like,
right. Tim
or Brady. But.
Right. The comeback numbers in the fourth quarter, the record when he leads at the half. Yeah. Go look at the comments that Bill Belichick made. Not that it's breaking news, but basically said he's one of, if not the toughest guy to game plan against in the entire NFL.
Absolutely.
Because every time we face him, he tears us up. Like, that's the way the best defensive coach in the league feels. That speaks volumes.
So I was listening to Pro Football Focus, their podcast, and they did the week one recap. And I just wanted to see if there were some interesting stat nuggets in there. And I stumbled across one of the topics that they got to. They'd mentioned the Colts. And they said, can you believe the Colts? Oh, Phillip Rivers, speaking of quarterbacks who looked old, his whole arm looks shot and he has to throw his whole body into every throw. This is not sustainable. So they're going off about the Colts. And I'm like, okay, I agree with this. Said this yesterday. And then they get to the Jags. And Sam Monson, who I'm a big fan of. He does great work for PFF. He's been on our show, I think, one or two times.
Got a great accent.
He's got a good accent, Scottish accent.
Mm-hmm.
He's co-host of that, and he dives into it, and he says, and he still maintained this throughout the whole conversation, Gardner Minshew is tank-proof. The Jags, if they're actively trying to get the number one pick to have the worst record.
Don't play him.
He truly believes that Gardner Minshew, while Gardner Minshew may not lead you to a Super Bowl, may not lead you to a division crown, he believes Gardner Minshew is too good of a football player, his smarts, his awareness, all of that, too good for them to be able to actively tank. That if you want to tank, put in the backup Mike Glennon, and then let's go on the roller coaster of just getting demolished every week. Otherwise, he says Gardner Minshew is tank-proof. Do you agree?
I'm going to reserve judgment on that.
Wow, you coward.
I am totally going to coward.
You're such a coward.
Ryan Fitzpatrick had a bit of that vibe last year because everybody thought the Dolphins would go 0-16, and they ended up winning, what, five games, six games,
he
somewhere
got,
in that
yeah,
range?
Fifth pick.
Fifth pick, right? Everybody thought they were a lock to get the number one pick.
So, and that's being tank-proof.
And that's being tank. Yeah, I'm saying, yeah. So maybe he has that same quality as Ryan Fitzpatrick. He went, I believe, last year, because I had a listener, Cougar fans were in my mentions this weekend because I took Indy in my Survivor pool. So everybody, oh, don't bet against Minshew. He never loses. And some listener tweeted me that he was 6-0 as a starter last year. I'm like, what? What world are you living in? So I went back and looked. I believe he was 6-8 as a starter last year.
Yeah, he played a lot of that season.
I mean, Foles got hurt in the opener.
That's right.
First game of the year, he broke his collarbone against Kansas City, and they got boat race. And then it was Minshew magic. And I think Minshew was out of the lineup maybe a game or two. I think he got banged up a little bit. But he ended up, I believe, starting somewhere in the range of 14 games. And he was like 6-8 as a starter, somewhere in that ballpark. So he is about a .500 quarterback after the win in week one. The thing I would argue is they have a worse roster this year than they did last year, at least on paper. They had Jalen Ramsey for a chunk of the year last year. You lost some guys on the front. Leonard Fournette was a 1,000-yard running back last year. So I think the roster isn't quite as good. I'm gonna hold off on that. We see crazy things happen in week one of the NFL season all the time. Gardner Minshew is an incredible story. He's been fun to watch. The hair, the mustache, the video, the interviews that he does, they pull out like, dude, he is an awesome story, and I'm not trying to knock him. But like, remember a handful of years ago when the 49ers won their first game, I think Chip Kelly's year, they started 1-0, and Trent Dilfer's like got lotion in the booth talking about Colin Kaepernick.
No, man, it was
or was that the Tom Sula year? But I know they won their opener on Monday Night Football against like Minnesota, and everybody was
it was Blaine Gabbert
talking about how good they were going to be.
It was Dilfer going crazy about Blaine Gabbert.
And they went like 2-14 that year. So I'm just saying, crazy things can happen in week one of the season. Let's see if Jacksonville is able to maintain this throughout the course of the year.
And speaking of sources are telling Mike Friends. Well, I'm kind of going wrong accent there.
Sources.
Mike Francesa, formerly of Intercom New York.
Yes.
W fan.
Heard of it?
He is reporting that that they're trading him. They're looking to trade Odell Beckham out of Cleveland.
I'd consider it.
I would have already done it.
Do it in a heartbeat, depending on what you can get.
It's a bad fit. It doesn't have to be an indictment on Odell. You can praise a guy on his way out and say he's been nothing but class act. It's just not a fit. We want him to succeed. We feel it's in our best interest as a team. You can do this in a clean, appropriate way. We'll just see how it unfolds. But he is saying, and I don't know how much stock I put into it, but he's saying that they're looking to shop him.
You can get something, a good value in return. You pull the trigger on that in a heartbeat.
Well, what's the team that needs it?
Well, he's got a big contract, so you got to find a team one that needs that has
cap space,
the salary cap space. The first one that jumps in my mind is San Francisco. I don't know what their cap situation is, but a team that was flirting with them initially before he was traded last year. I think they're desperate for help on the outside.
They have no wide receivers right now.
And maybe they're different in 2 months when Deebo Samuel and some of those other guys come back, but right now they could desperately use the help. Outside of that,
what about, I don't know where they're
trying
at.
Trying to rack, I mean, you want to be look a contender, right?
I have to go to overthecap.com and see where the teams are at. I wonder even about a team like Minnesota.
Minnesota, maybe?
You lost Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, they did bring in Jefferson. You still got Thielen and Rudolph. Maybe Minnesota does it, although they just got done dealing with what they would argue was a malcontent wide receiver in Stephon Diggs.
That's true, but maybe, we don't know if he's malcontent in Cleveland. Sure. It might just not be a good fit.
Sure, very true. Seattle, I don't think that has the cap space necessarily to pull it off. I think they would love to have another weapon. Maybe New England, if New England feels like they can compete this year. I mean, you're still, your best wide receiver is Julian Edelman. If you think Cam Newton's the real deal, and he can be all season long. Philly's always dealing with injuries at the wide receiver position, it feels like. You got Dallas Goedert, but some of the receivers have been in and out of the lineup, so maybe. Although the Rager kid, I thought, looked actually pretty good. Their rookie from TCU.
He had some good plays, yeah,
for Philly. He had a couple of good plays, even though they blew that lead.
Yeah, Philly's an underrated mark, too. I'd have to think about if they have cap. Cap space is the biggest question here, not knowing all 32 teams' cap situation.
Yeah, you got to have them. You got to have the flexibility to bring a guy like that in.
We'll see. By the way, Minnesota, no. They have no cap space.
Okay, Minnesota's out.
57,000.
Yeah, if I'm Cleveland,
next
and I
year
can
they're
get
in the red, 800 grand.
That's not good. If I can get a high draft pick out of it, or get a positional fit of need for him in return, I pull that trigger because, one, you still have Landry, who I think is a good wide receiver. And Cleveland just needs to change up their offense, man. I'd almost just...
Well, they did. It's a new coach with a new system.
Yeah, I just run what Baltimore runs, man. Mayfield's limited as a pocket passer. Just scramble him around, use him in zone read kind of stuff. You got Kareem Hunt.
You think he could succeed? I don't think he's very fast.
He's not as fast as Lamar Jackson, but you got two really good running backs in that system, man. I don't know. Having two elite wide receivers clearly has not worked. They've won like a total of three games with those guys in the lineup. So what the hell, man? Pull the trigger on that move.
I'll put it on the record since Dirt's a coward. Gardner Minshew, tank proof.
Tank proof?
Yeah, baby.
Going there?
They're going to win six games.
I'm also very anti-Gardner Minshew right now.
Why?
He knocked me out of a survivor pool in week one. And if they end up going 2-14 this year.
Don't bet against the stash.
I'm going to YAMO burn that house to the ground at the end of the season.
He was so good in that NFL commercial.
He was great in the NFL
Singing?
Commercial. Yeah, he was.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I root for that guy. He might be the most likable starting quarterback in the NFL.
It's hard to not have a more likable guy than that.
All right, coming up next, we'll stay in the NFL. Don't worry, we have Major League Baseball news to get to, how their postseason's going to unfold. We'll dive into the NBA playoffs. We've got Miami and Boston tonight, Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals, and then Game 7 of the Clippers and Nuggets, and then a whole bunch of more other things to get to at some point, I think, maybe. Dirt ate a Hot Pocket out of a vending machine that's been there for 6-7 months, so this is going to go very poorly.
It's frozen.
Don't regret it. That's my thought. It's frozen.
Frozen Hot Pockets have a time.
Oh, they don't
timeline.
Have a timeline.
Yes, they do.
Frozen food's good for a century.
No, it's not.
When was the last time you threw away a frozen food item?
A Hot Pocket in college. It was in my freezer for 8 months.
Never have.
It was disgusting.
Nah, should have ate it.
All right, coming up next, NFL True or False, but first, Russ with a sports update.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, Green Bay, another landing location. People have texted in.
Yeah, let me look them up. By the way, Over the Cap is the greatest website.
It's wonderful.
Breaks it all down for you.
How funny of a turn of events would that be after not drafting a skill position guy and then they trade for Odell Beckham and Green Bay wins the Super Bowl?
Team cap space about 8.7.
Okay. You can be flexible, too. You can give him something of salary in return. I don't know how much exactly Odell Beckham made. I know he did get a contract extension when he went to Cleveland.
Well, and then you see,
restructure or whatever it was.
You know, there's those teams in the background that nobody wants to mention because we don't think they're legit. The Detroit Lions, just as an example.
Sure.
They had an interesting little thing right before the season. They basically converted a chunk of Stafford's contract into a signing bonus to free up cap space.
Yeah, you can be flexible that way. Quick reminder, by the way, we have the mail sack coming up in the final hour of the show, 2:15.
Guess what I forgot to tease?
You forgot to tease the mail sack, and I forgot about it too until we just had one of our P1s chime in with the mail sack question.
I love
it. It reminded me.
The mail sack, and yet I never remember it.
We'll get our sack on, 2:15. No, I do not plan on having what people are alluding that the Hot Pocket is going to create in my stomach. I am standing firm so far in my decision to eat a frozen Hot Pocket.
It's not that you ate a frozen Hot Pocket. It's the fact that you ate a Hot Pocket that's probably been that Avanti Market for 8 to 10 months.
It's probably been in there for a while.
It might even be longer because I remember when we were using it, I always looked at some of the Snickers candy bars that are frozen or Hot Pockets, and I'd always wonder.
They were in there for a long time.
Who here eats those? Yeah. And turns out the Hot Pocket never really was empty.
Hot Pocket. So I'll let you know at the end of the show how my stomach's doing. Let's get to NFL True or False, though, shall we? Quick look at last week.
Oh, how'd we do? I was right. We were right on Russ. They let him cook.
I was wrong on that. You and Swigart were right.
I knew they'd let him cook.
The rankings of the week go as follows. Brandon Sprague, 3-1.
Woo! Let's go.
Andrew Dirt Johnson at 2-2.
Oh, there you go.
You know what they call that? Not losing money. And Jason Swigart bringing up the rear at 1-3.
He's always been the rear.
So we all missed on there will be more than 7 games decided by double digits in week one. We all said false. There were 8.
Jeez.
Decided by a lot of them right at 10.
Yeah.
There was 3 or 4 that were 10-point margins of victory, but
eight games?
By double digits, yeah. Starting on Monday night and even going all the way to last night, I think Pittsburgh won by 10. We also asked, no one will throw more touchdown passes in week one of the 2020 season than Tom Brady. Jason Swigart said this was true.
Why did he go all in on that one?
I'm not quite sure. Sprague, you hammered this saying absolutely false. You said only one touchdown and they would lose in a blowout.
Oh.
He had two. I don't know if we'd quite call that a blowout.
They were getting their ass kicked.
Did that quite count as a blowout?
That garbage time makeup points.
I'll give you a... you also said 80% of quarterbacks will have more touchdowns than him. I didn't spend the time to look that up.
We'll call it true anyway.
But we both got that wrong. saying false. Joe Burrow making his debut for the Bengals will not exceed any of Murray's marks.
Here it is.
Both you and I got that right. We said false because his completion percentage was higher than Kyler Murray's.
Oh, I think I went...
So we, you said false, and you said, and it would be a win for Cincinnati.
I was so close.
Give you half a point there. Swigart said this was true, that he would have a bad week. He had 193 yards, which did not match Murray's 308. He had no touchdowns, which obviously didn't match Murray's two touchdowns. And then 63% completion percentage, that was higher than Murray's, 53%. And then Russell Wilson will have more than six passes completed in the first quarter of the game. You and Swag said that was true. It was true. I said false. He had eight completions in the first quarter.
I think he started 6-6.
I think he had six on the opening drive, yep. Okay, Jeff Frost, what do we got, buddy?
First up, in his Patriots debut, Cam Newton ran for two touchdowns while not throwing any scoring passes. True or false, Russell Wilson will have more rushing touchdowns than Newton when the Patriots visit Seattle this Sunday night.
That's a great, great question. I'm going to say this is false. I think it's going to be a push or Newton gets more. I'm actually not convinced that's New England's offense. I have a theory that they did that because they could get by against Miami. I won't be shocked. Not that it's going to matter because Seattle looked pretty good, but I won't be shocked if Cam Newton and the New England Pats offense is drastically different in terms of their approach. But on the touchdown note, I can't say this is true, so I'm going to go false.
I'm going to let it known right now, and I promise to not pull a Coward. Did you see what he did on Friday? He does his Blazing Five pick. You know what his like lock pick of the weekend was?
What was it?
It was Atlanta over Seattle.
Okay.
And then you know what he said his lock pick of the weekend was on Monday?
What?
Rams over the Cowboys.
Well, it's the day and age now where despite video and audio evidence to the contrary, you can just call fake news.
So I am going to do this, and I promise I will acknowledge it on Monday. My lock of the weekend is Seattle minus four over New England. New England traveling. I think they're still trying to figure out the offense, and they struggle with Miami. I think Russell Wilson's locked in. I'm hammering the Seahawks minus four. However, not rushing touchdowns. That's what Cam Newton does around the goal line. You can't defend it. This is false.
Are we on the next question, or do I go true or false?
You got to give the answer, Russ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Russ, I don't really.
I'm not quite sure what's going on here. I'm going to go false.
Mm-hmm.
Russ's rushing touchdown totals for his career go in this order: 4, 1, 6, 1, 1, 3, 0, and 3. Whereas Cam's go 14, 8, 6, 5, 10, 5, 6, 4, 0 last year, and then 2 last week. So I'm going false.
Cam is thick with two C's.
Okay. Moving on. Rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire led all rushers in the NFL week one with 138 yards for the Chiefs in his NFL debut. True or false, Edwards-Helaire will rush for 100 or more yards in week two against the Chargers.
Ooh.
I think this is going to be true. You know, it's hard.
That's juicy.
It's week one, so, you know, take this for what it's worth. He's got such a good shot. He's got to be the favorite to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year this year. I think he's going to do it again. What are you going to do? Make Kansas City pass the ball? The league MVP back there? The young boy wonder? I think he can do it. True.
I'll say this is false, mainly because I think their game plan is going to be like West Coast, hike it, get it out of his hands quickly to try and neutralize that pass rush. For reference sake, Mixon, who's a good back, we know, had 69 yards. Nice. Against the Chargers last weekend. I'll say he has a big game in the pass. a big game in the receiving department. And I do think the Chiefs win this game, but I'll say he's just shy of 100. I'll say it's false.
I'm going to go with true on this, mainly because, you know, Chiefs are basically an offensive juggernaut. I don't know if you've noticed. And he also got 25 of the 34 team carries last week, with Darrell Williams getting 7, Sammy Watkins 1, and Anthony Sherman 1. He's going to get the ball, and they're going to move it. He's going to get 100 yards. Number three, after not having a 300-yard passing game in any of his first 29 starts in his NFL career, Josh Allen led the Bills to a season-opening win, completing 33 of 46 passes for 312 yards and two touchdowns. True or false, Allen will have his second career 300-yard passing game this Sunday against the Dolphins.
I mean, you just got to play the odds on this, right? He's got one in his entire career. What are the chances of going back-to-back? I'm going to say this is false.
The Stephon Diggs impact is what scares me. Like, Diggs can take a 20-yard pass and then take it into 80 yards. You know what I mean? Like, if you're on the goal line, you throw out.
What about the impact of missing wide open receivers?
Well, yeah, I'm gonna also play the odds here. I will say false. He might have a good game, and I'm sure they're gonna win it. But
yes, I will pick the Bills to win this.
Not
game
a lot of 300 yard games in his career, so I'll go false.
I'm gonna go with one of my favorite old phrases: "Sun even shines on a dog's arse some days." So we'll just go ahead and say false. I mean, if it takes him 30 games to get to his first 300 yard game, I'm gonna go with career game number 31 is probably not in the 300-yard category. Cleveland Browns were the only NFL team to be held to single-digit points in Week 1 after being annihilated by the Ravens 38-6. True or false, the Browns will not score 10 or more points this Thursday night against the in-state rival Bengals.
This is false.
Come on!
And I know why Swigard did this.
Show some respect to our Cleveland Browns.
It's to poke the Sprague Bear who picked him to win their division like an idiot. But no, come on. If you can't win this game, it is officially like danger zone time with Baker. And I still am a believer in Baker. I'm not ready to punt on him. I think you see Alex Smith. You come in, you get a bunch of new coaches back to back to back to back. It's not particularly great for you. But come on. The Bengals, you got to win this game. This is false.
I am like irrationally high on gambling on the Browns this Thursday.
What's the spread?
They're favored by 6. I know.
But look, Joe Burrow looked like he didn't look great.
I'm an idiot, but
that could be a 9-3 game.
It really could. Oh
could
my
be a
god.
10-3 game. You know what they call that? A cover.
Boom.
This is false though. They will score 10. I think a lot of this is, again, let's not get too freaked out over 1 week. They also got boat raced by maybe the best team in the NFL. Like, are we just ignoring that? It wasn't like some random Joe Schmo.
No, they got
knocked him off
in the playoffs.
Like the Raiders just beat him 38-6. Like Baltimore was 14-2 last year. They blew a lot of teams out. Cleveland might suck this year, but I'm going to give him another week. I'll say this is false.
I'm ready to punt on Baker. I'm saying true. He's a head case, and I just
he might be.
He doesn't do
he
it for
right.
me. And
how does he not do it for you? You're the same height as him.
Well, yeah, I'm not out there trying to run around and throw touchdown passes either, because I know I would be terrible at it.
Sub-6-foot white guy, let's go, who can also dance really well.
You know what he needs to do?
Cleans the stadium in those Progressive commercials.
He needs to call the companies that he's endorsed by and say, can we pull these till I get a win? That's a bad look. When you play that bad,
that might be the way
he gets
his future set.
And then it's like nothing but Hulu and Progressive commercials. It reminds me of the Johnny Manziel stuff. What is it with Cleveland quarterbacks getting all sorts of national ad campaigns?
Well, they draft high
because they're always like number one picks.
They're number one.
Well, Manziel wasn't. Manziel was different. I get that.
He's probably the most polarizing college player in a decade. Baker was the number one overall pick. Like, Cleveland stuck with it because they suck.
It's like, hey, can we just Progressive? How about we, like, when I'm 3-1, we roll these ads back out and I don't get made fun of?
Boys, let's get 1-1 and then we'll do the seat cover commercial again.
Then we're good. Then we can all laugh at that one. All right, there you go. NFL true or false every Tuesday at 1:30. We'll grade it. Coming up next week. Don't forget, Mail Sack. Get your questions in, 503-250-1080. What should we do next? Let's do a little baseball stuff, shall we?
It's interesting little note just came across about your team.
About my team?
You're not playing in Seattle.
Yeah, the air quality. I'm assuming they canceled it, right?
They did, and now they're both flying to San Francisco, where the air quality also sucks, to play at Oracle.
Is it less bad?
I mean, sure, if you want to say 180 is bad.
Oh, come on. That's nothing.
There you go.
So we'll get to some baseball stuff. Do it next. Crunch time on the Fan.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan. The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness from Beaverton to Lower Division, Vancouver. They're all up and running. Go check them out, crunch.com. Stop by one of the locations. Great deals going on in the month of September. I believe most of them still close today. They're waiting for all that smoke to clear out, as so many other businesses are. So keep an eye on their social media accounts. I know they're all over it on Instagram. Go give them a follow, and you get an update on when the gym's going to open back up.
It's almost Earth, Wind, Fire Day.
It is. Yeah, it
That's
is.
My wedding anniversary, too.
Happy anniversary.
Did you do that on purpose?
It just kind of worked out.
Tell me you played the song, though.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's also Bill Murray's birthday.
That feels like something you would do on purpose.
That was not on purpose, actually. I did not know that until years later.
Really?
But, yeah.
Rust, by the way, is rocking a Prestige Worldwide t-shirt today.
Prestige.
That's such a good shirt. He always has the best shirts.
Every time he comes
and
in,
and he's got a Bill Murray mask.
He's styled in.
Where do you even buy a Bill Murray mask? BillMurray.com?
TheChivery.com. That is the Chives online shop.
BillMurray.com. Does he have his own website selling his own mask?
I would hope so.
He has his own golf wear line at the Chivery, too.
Does he really?
He's got a movie actually coming out. He's the Rashida Jones. You know Rashida Jones?
Yes, I do.
They're doing like a father-daughter... I don't know. I don't know what the plot really was, but it's a father-daughter combo of some sort.
Oh, okay.
Supposed to be coming out.
Okay.
I keep, you know, Tenet came out too.
Yeah.
And I read good things. Yeah, I heard good things, but I heard it bombed. But I'm like,
well, nobody wants to go to the movie theater.
Yeah, exactly. Who's going to movie theaters right now?
Yeah, that's not. I wouldn't say that bombed. That's just people don't want to go sit in a movie theater.
Well, and plus beyond that, I mean, what they had 25-30% capacity, maybe.
Yeah, because you got to space people out, right?
So, I mean, yeah,
you can't even do it in Oregon.
You can't really compare
the
numbers to normal movies.
I don't think they're open here.
I think Century's going out of business. Didn't I read that this week?
Dude, I have Century card. I mean, I got rewards.
Not anymore.
Can I claim those?
I don't think so.
Get a popcorn bag.
Because there's a new Sorkin movie that they showed a trailer for the other night on Sunday Night Football that I thought looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced they're doing like a limited theater release, but they're also pairing it with Netflix. I think a lot of people are going that route.
Yeah,
or
that's
like
right.
You do it on Apple TV. Like you pair it with a streaming site and say you can go watch our movie if you're a part of that streaming site.
I'll also say I'm a huge fan. All right, so don't take this the wrong way. I can understand why Christopher Nolan movies don't always do extremely well. Their trailers are very confusing, and half the time people are like, what is this movie about?
What's going on here?
Interstellar was kind of like that.
Never saw it.
You never saw it?
Never saw Interstellar.
I liked Interstellar.
I did too. It tugged at the heartstrings because I'm a dad, but it was a good movie. But still, it's like he intertwines so many storylines in this Tenet movie. It's like, Okay, I kind of get it, but...
The next big one coming out I've seen the trailer for is Dune. Have you seen those trailers?
Is it about a sand dune?
I haven't seen the trailers
yet. It's like
no.
A sci-fi-y kind of thing. Yeah.
But
it's
supposed to be really big. Early 80s,
I think. It's a remake of a movie from the 80s. It's supposed to be a big movie.
A movie called Dune from the 80s?
Dune,
baby. Is it good?
I don't know. I never saw the one in the 80s.
I don't believe I've seen... I mean,
the trailer looked pretty crazy.
So why is this the next big movie if... If it's a remake of a movie.
The trailer got a lot of hype. Oh. Have you not heard Al Michaels trying to pronounce the director's name in the reads?
Mm-mm.
Google that. It's pretty funny. He's got like one of those kind of names. And Al Michaels has to do Dune coming out and blah, 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 directed by.
Speaking of that, not to change off movie. Did you catch what he said yesterday or on Sunday night during the broadcast with Tafoya? So they were in L.A., right, doing the Ram game.
SoFi Stadium. It's beautiful. Did you hear?
He made a note that where that stadium was, there used to be a horse track.
Oh, yeah. He talked about his growing up
and
gambling on the horse track.
And his mom got him into gambling at like 6 and 7 years old.
And then Tafoya said she won like 6 figures as a kid or 5 figures or something.
She didn't get into how much exactly, but she said she won a huge bet. And I think you're right. Maybe she said 6 figures and they both went, whoa.
Yeah.
And then she says she doesn't remember how much her parents let her keep, $50 or something.
Yeah. She had to share it with the entire family. Screw that noise, man. I'm keeping that money.
I think we're about a year or two away, and I don't know if Michaels is still going to be calling games. We're about a year or two away from this whole, like, subliminal betting line going away. And he'll just outright be like, well, the guys who had it at +4.5 are pretty happy.
Right. You don't have to beat around the bush when you're bringing it up on the broadcast anymore. Hey, you know, being bubble boys in the NBA has worked really well for them. So Major League Baseball is going to try and follow that path. They have finalized their agreement on what the bubble playoffs are going to look like. Finalized again today, the Division Series, League Championship Series, and World Series will all be a part of a bubble design. To minimize exposure to the coronavirus, the World Series will be held at the Rangers' new ballpark. So that's kind of a cool thing. At least new ballpark, open it up, they get a chance to host the World Series at it. I did see Rob Manfred also mention that he is hopeful at that point to have fans in the stadium, to which some people joked, is that a bubble if fans are there?
That was a pretty idiotic thing by him. I love the approach, and I think this is the best way to do it. They've done pretty decent considering they're not in a bubble and they're traveling, and some of the stuff has been out of their control too, the wildfires and what's going on with that. But you have a bubble, you're going to play in Arlington, you have a backup in Phoenix. Why are you even toying with the notion of fans? Again, I understand you want to get some money, but if your whole season's a huge loss, is going from a drop of whatever that percentage is down couple percent because you allowed some people to come in. It's not worth it to me. So I didn't really understand his line of thinking on that one. You're creating a bubble to keep everybody out so we have everybody healthy.
Yeah, maybe you just limit. You don't let anybody within like 40 rows of the field. They all got to sit in the upper deck or something.
No,
that way they're away from the players.
You shouldn't. No, just don't do it. Just do not do it.
The Players Association is in the process of finalizing the details of the agreement. They're going to get tested daily. It'll be strange to have it as a neutral site. They're coming up with rules, too, basically saying the players, only spouses, domestic partners, and children and child care providers are allowed to stay with the players during the period of which they're in these hotels. They may not bring family to the transition hotel or on the road. Family members will not be allowed into the bubble hotels at the four sites until they complete a supervised 7-day quarantine. So they're following the NBA provisions on this. The difference is they're not on like a Disney kind of campus. So they're basically going to limit guys saying you can go to the hotel, to the ballpark. That's about it. The one thing that this will do, and we've seen this in the NBA, there used to be in the NBA playoffs so many off days in between games. It's going to completely eliminate that. So like in the division series and championship series, you used to have multiple off days throughout the series. Gone. You're playing every day.
Every day.
So you're not going to be able to necessarily, like in a 5-game series, it's going to be really tough to start a guy twice unless you're going on super short rest. So it's going to highlight the teams that have deep. It's going to change it. If you got a deeper rotation, you'll be better served to win.
I was reading an article last night that was basically highlighting that, you know, this is the day. Modern day baseball is now pitchers only go so long. You're relying on your bullpen. They think it's going to shore up that by a couple innings. They think starters are going to go 3 to 4 innings and then they're going to dip into the bullpen.
You go bullpen games.
Because they want to be able to preserve. You're right. There's the depth of your rotation. Not a lot of teams. The Braves rotation's a mess right now. They're hopefully going to get some guys back. One rookie and Cole Hamels. But like they're one of a few teams that they don't have great starting pitching. I think they had 11 total wins from their starting pitchers all year.
That's not good.
It's not good. So what you're going to see is teams maybe throwing their aces out or some of their starters out 2, 3, 4 innings, pulling them, go bullpen. That way they can get them back at some point a lot quicker than normal.
Yeah, the first round, it sounds like, will be, of course, again, it's expanded to 16 teams. It will be at the home stadium of the top seeded teams. So it's a best of 3 series, and you have to play all of them in one location, I guess. So that's going to be a frustration for the lower seeded teams. You got to go in 2 out of 3 on the road. You don't get a home game in that, but hey, I guess no fans are involved. So what the hell does it really matter that much?
There really is no home field advantage.
Yeah. The division series will be played, in San Diego and LA, for the American League and the National League. It'll be in Texas and Houston. And then the ALCS will be played at Petco Park in San Diego and the NLCS will be played again at Globe Life and then the World Series. Globe Life. So they're finalizing their deal. They're going to be Bubble Boys. And Phoenix, the Diamondback Stadium, is going to be a backup plan in case something flares up or something happens. They got that one in their hip pocket. So that's the direction Major League Baseball is going. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Beaverton, Alowa Division, Vancouver, they're all up and running. They're dealing with the wildfires right now. So keep an eye on their Instagram accounts and when they're officially going to reopen this week. But they got great deals going on in the month of September. Go check them out, crunch.com. Last to get to in the final hour, some more NFL leftovers we need to get to. We have the mail sack coming up at 2:15. So get your questions in, 503-250-1080. And then there's a Game 7 tonight. How pumped are we for that? Denver in LA, plus the Eastern Conference Finals begins. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.